Welcome to Rusak Gamers.
Welcome back to the Rusak Gamers podcast, and this is our 50th episode. Now, for this episode, the game kind of fell apart, and Jeff, Jace, and I decided just to get together for a general chat. My goal was to talk a bit about the games we would like to play, but haven't ever got a chance to. We get around to that, but when Jeff found out that this was our 50th episode, well, he takes us in a different direction. You'll see. So, we go from I can't believe we've done this a whole year through recording problems and finally talking a bit about my original main topic. I'll put the links for the various games we do talk about in the show notes. Oh, and we cover a good bit about our previous weekend's game gathering that Jeff likes to call LakeCon. Now, questions, comments, and general feedback can be left on our voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766. Leave us a voicemail, we'll send you a prize. You can also send feedback to our email address, roy@rusakgamers.com. Don't forget to drop by our RPG Crosstalk forum, just scroll down to the Rusak Gamers section. Links to these sites, our archives, and more can be found at podcast.rusakgamers.com. Enjoy the show.
All right, we're on now.
Okay.
All right, we're all subdued.
So this is...
Quiet evening.
This is episode 50.
This is episode 50.
This is quite an auspicious occasion.
especially since we're still paying monthly because we're not sure how far it's going to go.
all right, hi. This is Jeff.
Jason.
Roy.
Watch out the window. My nephew just fell flat on his back. We don't have a whole lot of players here tonight, and we were debating. One person dropped out because of, family visiting issues. Another player, that was Bill, and then Joe had to drop out because he
illness.
Had some... Yeah, he had a... some domestic issues, and Todd had some work stuff he had to get caught up on, and
they just aren't serious.
Yeah,
as
well, and then Doug dropped out because he wants to go play Star Wars: The Old Republic, and I can't blame him necessarily for that because if we weren't doing this right now, I think I would have my PlayStation fired up and playing something because it's been forever since I've played anything on my PlayStation, and it's in the name Play, and I'm not using it. Okay, all right. My son uses it all the time to play Star Wars Legos, but not me, man. Oh, no. I'm paying for it to tell him to get a job.
I think we hit an issue.
Oh, well, it's all right.
Talk about Star Wars Legos, Jeff. Do you want to play Star Wars Legos?
Well, I get to play Star Wars Legos all the time because my son can't figure out how to get through the levels.
Your wife plays a lot more than you do.
Well,
he's always asking for her help. I never hear him asking for
her
help.
I wouldn't say a lot. I say, hey... You know, go down and help him out with it, and so she does. And
so, in other words, when he says, "Dad, can you help me?"
It's, oh, I blow him off.
It's to find him. No, it's Mom. Dad's playing too much. Can I have my game back?
It's my game.
I thought he
my system.
I thought he bought that one with his own money.
Yeah, he's got a job. A little lazy, good for nothing.
Anyway.
He's almost five. He needs to get a job.
Start earning your
keep. That's right. Earn your keep, punk. Anyway.
Okay, so this is episode 50.
Yeah, and...
a little more than a year ago.
Yeah, we
I
just,
looked at Jeff and like,
hey,
I
let's
think we should record these.
Let's record this garbage. And so here we are.
Well, we started off recording your Witherscape game the first time.
That was just a test, yeah.
Yeah. To see how long it would take me to
and it was about edit. two games. So
I was like five.
And those are the lost episodes, ladies and gentlemen. You may never hear
They're
those.
They're lost for a reason.
Yeah. You may never hear those.
Well, because when you first download Audacity, first thing you have to do is learn how to use the program. And so you start playing with all the different settings. And, wow, we really sound like crap on a few.
Do we?
Not because we sound like crap. It's because I'm sitting here trying to figure out the fastest, easiest way to edit this thing down, and it just sounds bad sometimes.
Well, and we need individual mics.
Yeah, we don't have that.
We do need individual mics, and Maybe eventually we'll get to that point where we want to chip in and do that.
Well, unfortunately,
what kind of mic is it? It's a blue.
This is a snowball blue.
A snowball blue microphone, which it, I guess works out pretty good. I mean, yeah. I don't think you were using this before we actually decided to make to take the plunge. You know, Roy has actually gone to great lengths to make this a decent podcast. I mean, as far as his budget will allow. But
I mean, there was a couple episodes where we
Joe's
got a nice recorder,
and that worked pretty well.
Yeah, Joe's got a really nice recorder. Joe's a big music aficionado, and he's got some pretty neat equipment. We tried, we messed around with a few configurations, but this seemed to be the best one.
Except for the one time when I forgot to bring the microphone.
And
then we used one of your old ones.
That's
the worst episode.
But that's a good thing. Maybe we ought to talk about that. If you're thinking about doing this, thinking about recording your games, not that we're experts. I mean, we've been doing this for over a year. But
first things first, make sure you got friends that show up.
Wow. I wouldn't call them friends. But if you're going to do this,
You know, after this past weekend where we got together and played for a few hours worth of games.
All right. If you're gonna, just don't throw that out there like that. We, this past weekend, my parents, my mom, owns some property out on the far side of the town. It's in a sort of remote area. It's pretty nice. It's got a big, it's got like a 4-acre lake on it. And, you know, it's got some space where you can spread out. And so we've been talking about for years having a bunch of people out and sort of having our own little convention. And my thoughts were that it would be, you know, my brother Jason here has his own group that plays Sunday. We have a group that plays Sunday. And never the twain shall meet. But they, we thought it'd be nice if we get all the gamers we know together, invite them and have them all show up.
Well, there's some people that we used to play with that live in Cincinnati or other cities.
Right, and just get everybody together. And I think when we're all told, we probably have, and gamers that we play with, not regularly, but, you know, enough that we're in contact with them, 25, you know, mid-20s number of people.
Easy.
But we haven't all met each other, you know, like Jason's guys. I mean, I know his buddies. And Jason knows my buddies, obviously.
I've never met Jason's group.
But, yeah, but we've never all gotten together, and I thought it would be nice to get everybody together. Well,
that I know of.
You met a few of them.
Playing laser tag?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we thought we'd get everybody together and play and, you know, just make introductions. And that way, just expand the list so that when people want to run a game, they've got a roster. Right. Yeah. Of people to draw from. Well, anyway,
not just that. It was also to play something different, really. I mean, most of the time, the group that we play with Sundays, it's just Pathfinder or D&D. I mean, that's pretty much all it is.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to expose some
people. There's a few more. Yeah, I wanted to expose myself to other people. But we did want to try other things. And Hobie, who is not in our regular Wednesday game, but has joined our regular Sunday game, and actually he's like a eighth, ninth player in the Sunday night game, which puts us over the edge. But Hobie is worth
the trouble.
He is worth the trouble because he is diehard and he shows up like clockwork and he wants to play, which is more than I can say for everybody else in our group. But
mine.
But Hobie shows up and he actually makes a drive. He's got quite a drive to get there, so he actually comes in and plays. And I invited him at last Gen Con. We were sitting around drinking and stuff, and I invited him into Roy's game. I said, hey, yeah, come on out. We could, you know, play. Because we have people that drop out during the summer and because they have kids and other obligations.
As soon as we invite him,
he shows up, and then nobody's dropping anymore. Everybody's showing up like clockwork again. So we're all crowded into a little 10x10 room with like working a pie. So
that's not the truth.
So anyway, Hobie started giving me grief because he said, "Hey, when are you gonna have this
con
this you keep talking about?" And so we finally started making plans, and I got on Obsidian Portal and started making plans for games. And basically, I told people, look, everybody has to offer to run a game. Just say what game you're going to run, and then we'll just sort of... So anyway, we took votes, and you know, we picked games that everybody wanted to run. I offered to run... And see, most of us, like Roy said, we play Pathfinder, we play D&D.
3.5. Be specific.
And worked our way... But, you know, I offered to run, I think, Savage Worlds, which some people have played, some people haven't. Mouse Guard, Fiasco, stuff. I think when I offered to play it, I don't even think I'd run it yet. But I wanted to run it and wanted to play it. That was the first time I'd run it, I think. No, second time.
You ran it for us on one occasion.
Right. Which you'll drop probably before this episode.
No, after.
Maybe after. Okay. But we did run it, and we did recorded it, so hopefully you get to hear that. And then I ran it again, and those were spoiler alerts if you don't want to ruin the box set or the adventures that are in the book, the Mouse Guard book. Don't listen to those, or at least don't let your players listen to them. Because the scenarios are pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but we get into them. So, anyway, people offered to run games, and I think we had 1.3.5 Modern game run.
Yes.
We had several Fiasco games. In fact, we had one or two pickup Fiasco games in downtime because the Mouse Guard didn't run as long as we thought, or I thought. We had...
Savage Worlds with Savage Deadlands.
Worlds, Deadlands. I ran a Deadlands game.
Savage Worlds Fantasy.
Yeah, which was based on the D&D.
D&D cartoon.
D&D cartoon. I didn't ask you how that turned out.
Presto was the bomb.
Did you play Presto?
I played Presto.
Well, yeah, because it's funny, because you played the Gunslinger in mine. The kid Gunslinger, and you were...
Ruling everything.
I think you had most of your bennies left over. Yeah, you kicked butt. So anyway, it turned out pretty good. We had a few people cancel that said they couldn't make it. Most of Jason's group couldn't make it.
All of Jason's group.
So when I made that comment about people not showing up, that was like a reminder that my friends didn't show up for the weekend. His just don't show up on Wednesdays.
Well, it's because my friends have obligations. Your friends are just flakes. I'd take that out. I'm kidding.
No, he's not. Yeah, it'll stay in there. By the way.
Anyway, so we had 13 players, I think, show up.
Yeah.
Which was, we had enough for two big size games to be run the entire time. My brother had some HeroScape set up out in a smaller building.
Which he also ran miniatures in.
And he ran a miniature. Did he run a miniatures game?
He did run miniatures.
Cool. Separate building. I didn't get to get down there to see. I knew they were running HeroScape, but I didn't know
they ran HeroScape the first hour and a half.
Oh, yeah?
It's a relatively simple game
to pick up. Well, because Hobie brought some miniatures.
So they played the miniatures game, and of course I took my son out there, and he had a great time because he got to beat his uncle. That's the only thing he talked about when he walked in. Hey, Mama, beat Uncle James. And that was it.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, well, and how old's your son?
He's 13.
Thirteen.
And he was the talk, man, because he was playing a game at, what, 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, that was one of the things. That was like the biggest hiccup. Todd, who you all know, he was running the Burning Empires game. And excuse me, I'm burping here. I'm sorry. And he plays the captain in my game. Anyway, we had... what else do we have running?
Well, Todd came in just a hair bit late.
Oh, that's
he was
right.
Running
that's
behind
right.
From work.
Where I left. Todd had some family issues come up, and he was supposed to be there by 6, and he didn't get there. He said 9, and we had a lot of storms roll through here that night. In fact, during games, it was pretty wicked because we're around a 2-car garage playing and stuff, and the thunder's booming, and it was a lot of fun. It's actually been I've always wanted to do that. I thought it was pretty cool.
We had a good time.
Yeah, and but he actually did finally show up at 10, and he ran until 3:30 in the morning, I think.
Yep.
And 3:30. So and Jason's 13-year-old son was playing, and I think he kept dozing off in between his turns. Which, and I don't blame him because I went to bed at 1.
I went home.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing was he really wasn't dozing because we just roll his dice, tell his numbers. And sit there and go through everything he needed for combat, and then his head would go right back down. So later the next day, I asked him, "How's it going?" He goes, "I only remember the dragons." I don't remember any of the combat. So obviously he was asleep through the whole thing.
Yeah, so the next morning everybody got up. Todd made breakfast for everybody. It was really good. And
God, Todd can cook.
Yeah, it was delicious. And and we played, and then dinner, he brought some beef. Apparently he has a cow slaughtered every year. And
that was a good burger.
Yeah. And then we had burgers, and I wasn't even hungry, and I ate. And I'm like, yeah. So it was a good time. It was a good time. And I assume we'll do it again next year.
Hopefully.
But I don't want to think about that right now, because
we got Gen Con coming up.
It's a huge thing. Yeah, I'd rather I want to get through Gen Con, and then we'll start planning for that one again. So anyway, that's what we did this weekend.
Okay, so we've been doing this podcast for a year.
Yeah, we've been doing this podcast for a year. If you are looking at doing this,
do it. There can't be more than, 15,000 gamer podcasts out there.
Oh, yeah. It's a very narrow market.
I mean, there's geeks, computers, podcasts.
Yeah, nobody else is doing it.
Nah.
So, but this snowball that Roy has is pretty good, and he uses Audacity, and there's plenty of resources out there to look at, especially if...
plenty of people do it better. But more expensively. Okay.
So Todd made great food. Is that right?
Yeah, man, that was good cow.
Oh, and if you're okay, so in moving it forward, if you're podcasting, there's some neat resources out there. Dummies books, idiots guides, and Transom, which is a pretty good.
No, that's page. Yeah, that's for people who want to spend lots of money too.
Yeah, TransOM.com or org.
I think it's com, but I could be wrong.
Okay. So anyway, if you're interested in doing it, look it up, and good luck to you. So what else? What else are we talking about before we start talking about the weekend?
I don't know. We were let's see. A year, LakeCon. I don't know. I think we're caught up. What are we looking forward to in the coming year?
Well, we got Gen Con coming up.
God, I can't wait to Gen Con.
And we're talking about running up to Origins for a day.
Yeah.
And then we got Wonderfest, which is a local con here in Louisville.
I've never been.
Yeah, it's I went with I took my son and we went and walked around a little bit. It's all right. I mean not a lot of gaming, but
it's a sci-fi type of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of models
and stuff like that. Yeah, it's okay. And what else?
Well, real quick about Gen Con, we are going to be one of the sponsors for the podcast get together.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
We mean you? Did you already donate? And
yeah. We're tier one.
What does that mean? What's the level of donation?
That's the first level you can get to.
Oh, okay. So like 10, 20 bucks.
So it's like, yeah. It's like if you ever go to Kickstarter,
yeah.
Level one, yeah, same idea.
Oh, okay. So all right. Well, good for us.
So we'll be sponsoring a podcast get together.
We always do the right thing. That was nice of us. good job, Roy.
Yeah,
good job, Roy.
What else?
But when does... Oh, today, something interesting on the Book of Face. There was a...
Book of Face.
My face. There was a... there was an article that came out, or there was a thing that was on... what was that website I sent out earlier? On the D&D incarnations.
Oh, yeah, that was at a Lovecraft blog, I think.
Yeah,
I'll get it. I'll add it in the show notes.
Okay, and it's at here. I just got on my phone.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Go to the different editions. It's Lovecraft, all one word, 1890.wordpress.com. So Lovecraft 1890.wordpress.com, and they talk about they go through all. It's a pretty good breakdown of the core rules of D&D since all the way back to like 1974 when they designed the white box. And it's a pretty good breakdown.
Pretty thorough, too.
Yeah, and fair, I think, all the way through of its any of the statements that could be considered subjective. So, I mean, I skimmed through it, but it seemed pretty objective. The so if you're interested in that kind of thing, check it out. Okay.
Okay, so that's enough of the what does Fear of the Boot call it? The banter?
Is that banter?
That's banter.
I'm glad they didn't call it witty banter, because we're not engaging in witty banter.
It's not that at all. But I mean, since the game fell apart tonight, which was the other topic that we had going on.
Yeah, what do you do when a game falls apart? Well, if you got a podcast, you just
get together and you talk.
Fire up the mic and BS for an hour and a half.
So we first tried to salvage the game by coming up with something else. And Jeff has a game he's been wanting to run for, 3 years now?
Yeah, Sundered Skies.
Sundered Skies.
Probably 3 years.
Based on the Savage Worlds?
Yeah, it's a Savage Worlds setting done by Triple Ace Games. And it's a neat setting. I like flying ships and stuff. It reminds me a lot of Spelljammer. I mean, I was a big fan of that when I was younger. Essentially, the world has exploded and now there's chunks of land floating around in what's called the glow, and you fly from place to place and looking for salvage, generally speaking. And the only way you get from place to place, there's no navigation, is you have to have some of the earth from that place. You have to have some dirt, and you put it inside sort of a crystal ball. It's been a while since I read it.
Kind of like a compass.
Yeah, like a compass. And it leads you to the place that you have the dirt there for.
How do you find new places then? Accidentally?
Accidentally. Okay. And then you just scoop a big bunch of earth and sell it to people.
Cool.
So it's a neat game. There's no sunset, no sunrise, no darkness. And so the world is eternally lit by a thing called the glow, which comes from everywhere. And drives people mad. And so anyway, the glow makes you crazy and makes you go glow mad. And there's some other neat things about it. But I've been dying to play it. And you got dwarves, and I can use my minis and stuff with it without having a huge investment. I'm also a big Deadlands fan, but the that's a hard collection to put together as far as minis go. But
so we were. That was one of the things you said.
Because we only have a few players and they were dwindling quickly. I mean, we play Fiasco again, but after the weekend, I didn't want to play another game.
A little bit Fiasco.
Yeah, I'm a little Fiasco out right now. And I thought, well, I'm a little tired, but we could do a mouse guard game. And I thought, I'm really down with that right now. Anyway. Or we could try Sundered Skies. Well, then other people dropped out.
Well, I got excited first.
I know, and Roy went out. And I think you bought the.
I got the PDF.
Did you buy
the player guide?
PDF, right?
Yeah. So Drive Through RPG.
I may go out and buy the PDF bucks. Again, and I think it's a fun game, but I wasn't going to run it for two people. So, because I got to go drag my minis out and set everything up, and after putting them all away over the weekend, so we thought, well, now we'll just sit down and talk about stuff.
Well,
so,
that got me thinking about what other games.
The only other game that I would want to play. I mean, I like Savage Worlds, although it's not a good game for a podcast. But one of the games that I would like to play, thank you, is Fate. Is try the Fate system. And Roy, killing me.
Other issues coming up.
Yeah. So, but Fate is one of the ones that I wouldn't mind playing, which would be good for the podcast because it doesn't require a board. You know, you can do it pretty more verbally than.
And there is a podcast called Knights of the Night that's doing a Dresden Files game right now. They have made their name as a World of Darkness podcast, which also lends very well to podcasting because it's just all story.
Oh, yeah.
A story game. But they've done some Dresden Files recently and are going to be getting back to World of Darkness before long, as soon as their Dresden Files game is finished up. But Knights of the Night, if you get a chance, they're pretty fun. It's a nice group. I enjoy it.
Cool. And so we got to talking about that. And I don't know many systems right now that I'm dying to play like I have. You know, I really want to play Mouse Guard, really want to play Fiasco. A lot of games I was, really wanted to try out. And
we've done in the past year.
Yeah, but we played them. So I haven't found the new hotness yet. I mean, I think Fate is probably the next one. But I'm not dying to run Fate.
You're dying to play.
I'm dying to let Joe run Fate.
Yeah, I was really hoping for Joe to run a little more Fate. I really am. I do want to play Dresden Files.
And yeah.
Since you may not be here, and we don't want to,
yeah,
we don't want to continue on with.
I think I'm going to be
Witherscape without you because you're running it.
Yeah, I may be out for work for the next few games.
So I might run Dresden Files.
Yeah, so which just kills me because every time we're like, hey, what do y'all want to play? I go, hey, Roy could run Dresden Files. That'd be great. Roy could run Dresden Files. Hey, Roy could run Dresden Files. And then, hey, Jeff's not here. Hey, why don't I run Dresden Files? Man, that was
well,
cool.
It looks like you're going to be here. You're not going to be here for several weeks. And, you know,
I'm going to be in the city development part of that because I have
Yeah, that's true. You've already claimed certain parts of the city. I understand that. Well, that seems to be one of the big fun things about the Dresden Files.
Well, because you can set it in your city.
Yeah, and we do want to do that.
Because that way you're familiar with it, and people can pick locations to assign attributes to.
Locations that mean things.
Right. And so, anyway, so I'm not going to get to do that at all. And I'm bummed out. Excuse me. But I think that's the only game that I wanted to play was Fate.
I really would like
that. I haven't played.
I would really like to play the One Ring. I would really like to try that. It's a brand new game that came out. Came out Gen Con last year. They had a release, but the actual full release. They had a pre-release of Gen Con. The full release didn't come out until I think November.
Yeah.
But it's set in the time between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, set in Middle Earth. It's got aspects of Mouse Guard to it.
Oh, okay.
So everyone ends up tired, angry, and hungry a lot.
Do they use the same mechanics?
No, it's completely different mechanics, which is why I haven't even tried to run it yet, because I'm not sure I've got a full handle on it. Hopefully I can get into a game at Gen Con this year.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've been hoping to get into a Dresden Files game the past 2 years, and we only have 4 games for the whole freaking weekend. It's really difficult.
Yeah, and especially when you've got something that's like got a trademark name associated, yeah, or like Dresden or One
or
Ring.
Or One Ring.
Yeah, you're good luck. Good luck. So, I mean, if I could play a Fate game, I think I would do that. I mean, I've got the Strands of Fate. Bless me.
Okay. Oh.
So, yeah, I've got Fate. And Strands of Power, Strands of Fate, Strands of Power, and I may run one of those. But I think next for us after this, we're going to get back into Burning Empires. Yeah, we're outside now.
We had moved.
Yeah, we had to move. But anyway, we were talking about the next game.
Okay,
I think the next game we're doing is probably going to go into Burning Empires with which Todd was running and try to get through that second phase, and maybe. After I finish Witherscape, maybe that'll get us to...
it ought to get us to Gen Con.
Yeah, at least to Gen Con. Hopefully, maybe we'll finish up by the time we get to Gen Con. And then maybe we'll do something different.
Jason, are there any games out there that we haven't played that you are interested in, that you would like to play? Something, I don't know. Jeff was talking about Sundered Skies, which we thought about playing, but no one showed up. Well, and I was talking about the One Ring.
It makes me so sad.
I haven't gotten out there, so most games that I've heard about are through you guys. And I don't have enough time to sit there and look on the computer for different games, or even hear from them.
Well, I don't look so much. It's just that, you know, you listen to podcasts, or one listens to podcasts, in particular this one, me, and I would hear about these games, like, okay, I want to try that. I mean, I wouldn't mind trying, like, Dogs in the Vineyard. Or, Dungeon World is one that I might want to try.
Yeah, that's actually another one.
Or Apocalypse World with the Dungeon World hack. I think I might try that, but it's... I don't know anything about it, and from what I do know, I think it's more like D&D.
It's, yeah, like
and if I'm
original
gonna do,
D&D.
Yeah, and if I'm going to do that, I'll just go back and play some more... I'll go play Pathfinder. The system has to be different enough to make it worth my while to jump into something new. Because, there's only so many hours in the day.
The only other one that I was looking at that I actually purchased, because
Well, one, I like the company, and two, it just kind of sounded fun, was the new Marvel Heroes that came out from Marvel. They came out with the first book. It's a very large production that they're looking at. They're talking about 6 books a year.
Wow.
But they're not going to be huge books. And the books are going to be tied around the big storylines that have happened in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, see, I'm not... I don't know. There's and maybe it's just me, but there's nothing about the superhero genre that really gets me going.
You play the Black Knight. He's an Avenger.
Well, but
with a sword and armor and a mechanical
and
horse.
I certainly don't want to play... some character that's already been created in Marvel, but it's like the Superman effect. Superman can do anything, and so every episode somebody throws kryptonite at him, and so suddenly Superman's it's kryptonite. And I'm a huge Superman fan. I love the dude, but if you're overpowered, you're overpowered.
That would be a big problem. If Superman was in the Marvel Universe.
No, it wouldn't. You'd like to have him Presto.
I know he's in the DC Universe. I know there is a difference. But, it'd be like playing what
Thor.
Thor's not a perfect example. But, but then if Thor's going to do something, you just, we just put him up against other gods. Or the Giants, the Frost Giants. Okay, now go fight somebody that,
Loki.
That's why in DC, they have to send, Superman's off in Quadrant 55 fighting the,
Superman knowledge comes from the Super Friends back in the 70s.
No. So we have to get Blue Beetle and, there's one for you, Blue Beetle. So we have to get Blue Beetle and Booster Gold to go fight these guys.
All the characters.
Yeah, to bring these guys in to go fight them. And Green Arrow, or, the guys who...
Hey, or like... Green Arrow, Longbow Hunters. That is one of the best comics you'll ever read.
Like B-list. They're B-list Batman. They don't...
Did you ever read that one?
No.
I'm going to let you.
But anyway, I don't know. Long story short, I'm just not a huge fan of superheroes.
Not talking about a campaign level event.
Unless I get to play,
Superman.
No, I think I'd want to be Dr. Manhattan. Heck with Superman.
You want to walk around blue and naked?
That's right.
All right. Now that we've drawn the lines,
with a big long.
So what are we talking about now?
With a big long blue exposition. Holy swinging Mother of Mary.
Gotta hand it to the movies. they really didn't have
That was Boogie Nights, man. That was some Boogie Nights stuff going on there. Anyway.
Yeah, well, we're actually pretty lucky. We play just about anything we really want.
Yeah. And it's just a question of
time.
And that's one of the things we talk about is, I like short runs, but I like definite runs. So that everybody knows when the game ends, so we can mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And also, I think when you have a definite endpoint in mind, it changes the pattern of the game. Yeah, the complexity of the game. Not so much the complexity, but it changes the way people play, and they know, if you think your character is. Well, it's like we were playing with Neil in the Pathfinder game, or in Todd was running a 3-5 game. That's what it was, and we had all decided. We all knew that there was going to be a one shot kind of thing. It wasn't a one shot game, but it was a one shot campaign that ran, I think, 8 or 10 games or something. It wasn't terribly long. And at the end of the game, it was sort of we're going to go fight the big bad. And
right before that, we got some loot.
Yeah, we got some loot, and everybody's arguing over the loot, and we're like. Why don't we all just assign it? And Neil didn't realize that was the last game. And we're like, Neil, you can have it. Just let so-and-so use it for this fight. I mean, we don't care. It doesn't matter.
What do you mean I'm not going to get to sell it?
Yeah, because at the end of this, it doesn't make any difference. So, because, if you know it's your last game anyway, your character will do the heroic thing as opposed to, oh, I want to be able to be in the next campaign with this character I've been working on for a year. So.
Yeah, see, I don't care.
Well, I don't care so much. It depends on the game and the GM, but if I have to remake a character and he's a level lower than everybody, I get punished for dying, which is bad enough. You know, I have a character that I've had forever, and then I have to reduce a level and then come in and go through the whole, who are you and why should we trust you? And
you look that. Trustworthy.
You look trustworthy.
Join the party.
Yeah, I hate that crap. So anyway, yeah, I like shorter runs. I like to keep things finite so everybody sort of knows where the end point is so they can run to that end point and let the chips fall where they may. I mean, we played that Deadlands. We played out the Flood adventure, and I thought that was pretty cool. I think everybody sort of knew we were getting to the end.
One went on for a long time.
Yeah, that was like 30-some sessions.
Yeah.
We played that game.
Some of us had multiple characters.
Yes. Yeah.
And people would die, and they're like, bring in a new one. You know, just bring in a new one, man. Let's keep going. Let's keep the story going.
How many characters do you have in that, Jason?
Well, four? No, I only had two.
Neil had two.
I had three.
Greg had two. Neil had two.
Well, some players didn't make it all the way to the end, so.
Yeah.
And, well, I think Joe's the only one hit. His character was Joe's there the whole hit. Time.
Yeah.
Joe's character made it from the very first session.
And it's a pre-gen.
All the way to the end. And it was a pre-gen that he modified. Well, I mean, it was
he
a pre-gen.
Modified it, yeah.
Yeah, as it went up, he modified it. But, yeah, he was playing a...
Huckster.
Yeah, Spellslinger. And,
who never dealt with the devil very much.
Yeah, he would never try for more than a pair. And, you know, he's like,
you're dealing out 15 cards. Yeah,
I'm a veteran. I got three or four extra cards. What are you going for? I'm going for a pair. He'd got half the deck laid out in front of me like, oh, look, there's a pair. Here's a pair. So anyway.
This is a very system-heavy podcast.
Is it? So anyway, that's...
We've alluded to a lot of different things in, like, Savage World.
Oh, yeah. Well, in Savage Worlds, you...
Fate. We've thrown around Fate terms. But, yeah.
In Savage Worlds, the spellcasters, it's set in the wild, in the Weird West. You know, ghosts, zombies, vampires, werewolves, that kind of thing in the Wild West. And one of the things that the spellcasters have to do if you are a huckster... You basically play poker with a devil to get power your spells. You don't have to do that, but it's sort of a gambling mechanic, and you pull the cards out. And
it's very powerful, and it's free.
You state what you want to do, and then you have to get a hand to match the power level that you're shooting for. And Joe was always very conservative with his bets. I think it blew up in his face a couple of times, and he wasn't there, and somebody was just running his character for him. It was Doug, and that was bad. So, Deadlands is a great system. Savage Worlds is a fun system.
It's
quick and
simple.
Yeah, and it's I enjoy it a great deal. You can do a lot with it. Tell quick, fun, fast-paced stories. Very cinematically.
Or animatronic.
Animatronically, yeah.
Animatedly.
Yes, I brought my robot out. And of Abe Lincoln. He said, 4 score and 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's about it. That's sort of where I think we're going in the near future. We'll probably play Burning Empires and maybe get back to Bill's game in the future. I would like for Joe to run Fate, but he seems a little reluctant.
Seems to like to know the system more than he wants to run the system. Doesn't feel comfortable running the system, but he runs well. Every time he's run a game
Joe's a good GM.
He's a good GM.
He had a nice confidence. I mean, I didn't play in his game, but when I was watching what I did between the
with the mouse garden.
Oh, no.
He seemed to...
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, Joe's...
He seemed very decent at what he's...
If he doesn't have good confidence, he fakes it well. I mean, he's...
Well, no, I think what happens when he sits down and he's running the game, he's fine. It's getting to that point.
Yeah, he thinks too much about it.
He
worries. Yeah.
It's like, what was the night before he was going to run the mouse guard game, he made up an entire adventure.
No, it wasn't right a night before. It was like a couple of days, or the day before, he's like... Yeah, man. I think I'm gonna Because I'm running like a pre... I did this huge Savage Worlds thing, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to run one of the pre-gen adventures out of the book. And he says, you know, I'm... he sends me an email saying, I've made up an adventure. Would you take a look at it? And, you know, frankly, Mouse Card is one of those things. It's like Burning Empires or Burning Wheel. You just start with the setup, and then...
See where it takes you.
See where it takes you. You don't need to really put down that much stuff, yeah. But I just used it just to give me a sense.
Our problem in that game was is we were rolling really, really badly. Yeah. So when that happened, he ended up having to spoon feed us a little more, I think.
Yeah, well, we were playing with James. I undershot an obstacle by about 4. I thought, he's like, I want to tell the weather. And I didn't bother looking up weather watching. And I just
much bit more difficult.
Yeah, it's much more difficult than the rule set than you would think. And so, anyway, but that would have been fine anyway. But they had, I think they had fun. It just didn't take. It just didn't. It only took a.
Excuse me.
Jeez. What happens when you knock back, you know, 6-pack of Amstel Light?
Well, not quite a 6-pack. Not quite. But anyway, it didn't. It only took a couple hours, which is about right, I think, for a. Mouse Guard Adventure anyway.
Yeah, no.
Because Joe's went on, and he actually did 2 GM's turns.
Yeah.
He doubled up. He would have been finished by the time I was finished, but he doubled up on the GM turns, because in Mouse Guard you have a GM's turn, then you have a player's turn.
We didn't know exactly what we should have been doing on a player's turn, which made that one go a lot quicker.
Well, no, it's player's turn is pretty simple. You just say, you get so many checks in a GM's turn for doing certain things, or for, you know, messing yourself over, using your traits, and others, but when you get so many checks, that means you get a test. For every check, you get a test where you can test a skill or test something. And so, in their turn, I sort of left a cliffhanger in the GM's turn, and they each had a turn to, you know, talk to this mouse and convince her not to go out into the wild alone and to go and do this other, you know. So they had stuff they could do, and it worked out okay. But they didn't. One, I didn't know enough about the game, and they didn't know enough about the game to know how the checks work.
Yeah.
But in the future, I think, yes, they would push it a little further to get more checks, to do more things. So, and the game could run a little longer. But, it just gave everybody a good sense of what the game was like. Because I don't think James had ever played anything like that. And I don't know if he enjoyed it or not. It seemed like he enjoyed it in moments. Well, for example... I asked my sister-in-law, who was playing with us, she had a mouse, and Liz, she's been on the podcast, I asked her what she wanted to do for a test, and one of her beliefs was to convince Todd's character that she was ready to get her cloak, because she hadn't been awarded her cloak as a mouse guard yet,
and
to be part of the mouse guard. And so she said, I want to convince him. And I said, we'll try to convince him. And so I asked Todd, what do you want? He said, I just let her try to convince me. So it's a straight-up obstacle of his will for her to convince him. And she tries to get her dice together. And James is actually the leader of the group. So I said, well, what does James think about it? And James just sat there, crossed his arms, and shook his head and looked at him. No way. He's like, okay, well, let's add one to the OB then. So she was rolling like 3 dice on a 5 obstacle, which is which is nigh but impossible. She got the test. But she got the it right. It can happen. And she got the test. And that was sort of, and it was more of just to explain. You still get the test.
Right.
You still get to test. It still advances your skill. And she was trying to persuade him. So it worked out really well in that regard. And it showed how in a player's turn, you know, in the player's... We back? It showed in the player's turn that here's a skill. She wants to test it. She's got one check. What do you want to do with it? And that's what she did. And it was a really good example, I think, at that time of sort of how the game works.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind playing Mouse Guard again. I thought it was fun, but I don't know that it would be a really short run if we did. And but I'm not dying to play it right away.
Oh, I'm not either. I mean, I did enjoy it.
It's fun. It's fun. I don't know. But it was fun because Liz actually sent me an email and she wants to. She's got my brother. She's got him committed to play one game of Fiasco with her. So I sent her the link to Bully Pulpit games, and then she wanted to play Mouse Guard, and I think she's going to go download that to play with her daughter and, you know, work through some of that. So, very exciting. I mean, it was nice. It was nice to expose people to different games this weekend, so...
Yeah, Jason got to run. I mean, got to play some Fiasco.
Well, you know, the funny thing about it this weekend, you know, I was sitting there enjoying myself. I didn't have anything planned. I was going to sit back and watch everybody play, kind of walk around the table.
Well, then your friends didn't show up.
And my friends didn't show up, and I got to play the whole weekend. It was great.
Well, then you were signed up for the D&D animated game, the Savage Worlds.
No, I filled in.
Well, your name was in there.
No, I filled in because one of the guys that was for my group didn't show
up.
Oh,
is it JJ?
Yeah, JJ.
And he filled in for JJ in my game too.
Oh, okay.
Well, filled in for JJ, and then I filled in for JJ in the Savage World. I filled in for JJ in the
and Liz, I think, jumped into my game because she was waiting for Todd to show up because he showed up late. So yeah, there were a few hiccups, but
no, but it,
I enjoyed it.
It was fun. God, this podcast is all over the place. And still more coherent than the podcast.
Well,
let's not throw stones, man.
Love the podcast.
That's not nice.
Out of all the games, though, David, I would recommend Fiasco. You take a little bit of time and make sure you understand what your friends are more than anything else.
Oh, my God.
Because I got stuck with some weird topics that I probably, if I wasn't ready for it, I probably would have said, I'm not playing this game, I'm walking away from the table. But
well, I knew we were in for trouble when Doug makes himself a leader of a cult who's recruiting you.
Jason. No, he tried to recruit Chuck. However, the relationship between us was, I was a drug addict and he was my dealer.
Oh yeah. So we were talking about the cult. What the cult?
Well, that's the only thing you got to watch Chuck playing Fiasco is he hides his dice. So if you're trying to figure out how many dice he has, he'll hide his dice so you don't know how many dice he's got. And at the end, that's why he ends up, and his character always comes out smelling like a rose.
The first time he played was on ours. The funny thing was is that this was the first time I ever played Fiasco.
Well, no, he played... It may be the first time he played with you.
Well, no, that's right. He played one more time.
We played one Sunday. Yeah.
When he played it, this was the first time I ever played when everybody rolled really high on one end, which meant everybody had a good outcome.
Oh, okay.
There was nobody had a... I mean, the worst was Jason, and Jason's outcome was like, meh.
Yeah.
It was like, eh.
Okay, eh.
And you still killed him, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a...
I still ended up killing my guy, but however, I think I tried to kill everybody else that messed me over.
Well, the funny thing was is Chuck's outcome was really good. But he went before me, and so he kept putting this is, and this is me getting the all the money, and this is me getting all the women, and this is me getting all the glory. So what I did with mine is like, and this is me watching Chuck in the insane asylum as he believes he's won everything in the world. Just undercut right out from underneath him, and he just thought that was the funniest thing.
I don't think you can do that, but okay.
Oh yeah,
that's you hallucinating that he's in a.
Well, I made him. Well, I got to go.
But it was fun. It was funny because that second Fiasco game we played, it was the pickup game after the Mouse Guard.
Oh yeah,
like, Liz, you want to play Catan? She says let's play another Fiasco. I was like, all right, and I was just completely wiped out and just tired. Just didn't feel. I wasn't down, and.
You still had a game to run that night, didn't you?
No. I was done by then because the Mouse Guard was the last game I ran. And then I was going to be in Todd's Empires game.
Oh, that's right.
Todd's got Empires game. And if you're going to be at Gen Con, you should look for a Burning Empires game.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because Todd's going to be running one. First time running ever
at Gen Con. Yeah. First one of us to. Well, no, I ran.
And so he tested
Pathfinder.
Yeah, so he's tested, and I ran a dungeon of.
Oh, yeah, the Tower of Gygax.
Tower of Gygax,
that's right.
Yeah, I ran like, but it was only an hour.
Still, it was an hour at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
No!
Didn't yours? I mean, that was the one that was going all night long.
It was like in the middle of the day.
Oh, you did yours?
When I ran.
Oh, I thought you did yours in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah, it was nothing. So, it wasn't a big deal.
Well, you're not quite as impressive as I thought, Jeff.
I'm not. Okay. I'm not impressive at all. But, yeah, I don't like to run Game of Cons because I'm too OCD about it and I get...
No!
And it gets it becomes a job, and I want to end up bringing in, like, backing a truck up to the convention center and unloading a bunch of stuff. I was like, this game's going to be awesome. I'm going to talk about this for years.
Just for those that didn't see this, his arms were moving like he was backing up a real truck.
Yeah, I'm waving, well, you know, I'm waving in the truck.
See, some of these guys that show up, like the Savage Worlds game I played last year, it was the game starts at the top of a pyramid and you work your way down, and you go in and the guy pyramid.
Yeah, he didn't build it.
It was one of the guys.
It was Chaos Steve.
It's one of the guys.
Yeah,
what's
Mike's
up,
name?
I don't remember.
Yeah, they're on the pinnacle boards and stuff. Chaos Steve and
all the time.
And Mike, I forget what Mike's.
And they were running. It was a pinnacle sponsored game.
Yeah, and they're great GMs, and it
fantastic.
Was
fantastic.
And it was a really neat setup and stuff. So, but he was talking about how some guy built it and he was using it.
And, Nazis and mummies and pyramid. Oh, it's great.
Yeah. And
I think he runs it every year.
I mean,
with a setup like that, you want to use that pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, you'd want to play some kind of pyramid game every year. And I'm going to try and do this year Gen Con, the Savage Saturday Night, of course. And then I'm going to try and get to a fake game. But other than that, I'm kind of up in the air about what I want to play.
No, your time's more limited this time.
Yeah, it's been shortened. So,
not me, baby.
I thought you were going to play. Todd may go play too, because of work.
No, Todd's going up Wednesday.
Are you sure?
Because he was telling me
last email I saw. I thought he was going up Thursday. He may come up Thursday because of other things. But luckily, school doesn't start that week for us. So for our kids,
yeah.
So we're going to start next. It's the next week, which will be nice. Anyway, well, that's neither here nor there. Okay, so anything else we want to talk about? Or?
No, I think it's we're right at the 50-minute mark, and
you knock 5 minutes out of this.
God, I hope so.
Yeah, so we can maybe get down to 45 minutes. All right, well, thanks for listening.
Thanks for being here for 50 episodes.
Yeah,
God.
And I'll tell you what, if anybody sends us a voicemail, what's that number?
502-4141-RUE. That's 502-4141-766.
Tell us give us your first name, you know, where you are, what you like, you know, just leave us a voicemail, and
we got prizes.
Yeah, we got prizes. You'll have to give us an email, or you have to give us an address or something.
All right, and why don't we just take off?
Okay, and so good night.
Night, guys.
Thanks for listening.
And we're out.
Well, there you go. Our 50th episode. Neat, huh? Now, feedback goes to roy@rusackgamers.com or voicemail at 502-4141-RU, which is 502-4141-766. Now, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast, although tonight, not so much. But it is by the Rusack Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. See you guys next time.